And when I did start, I didn't know one end of the Bible from another. I had not read a single verse from this book. So what I heard was very strange to me. And I have to say, slightly depressing. But I kept coming back because I just felt there was something in what was being said. Now, one of the things that intrigued me about the people, brothers and sisters in those days, was the amount of attention they paid to this book, the Bible, and the authority that they placed on it. And I used to ask myself, well, what is it about this book that can command so much attention, so much authority, and so much respect? And it was that encouraged me to really look at this for myself. And when I did so, it wasn't too long before I realised that there's something very, very special about this book. I couldn't really put my finger on it still, but I knew there was something very special about it. Now, in that reading that we had together, if we can turn to it please, 2 Timothy chapter 3, if we come in at verse 14, the Apostle Paul is writing to a young man called Timothy, one of his converts, and he's giving him some words of advice. Verse 14, he says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." This young man Timothy had two very faithful guardians. You needn't turn to this, I'll just read the verse for you. He had a grandmother called Lois and a mother called Eunice, and they had actually brought Timothy up and taught him about the Word of God. And he had known that from a child. He had known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So through reading this book, it makes us aware of the things that we need to know so that we can be saved. Now, the president, in his prayer, talked about the creation of God and how beautiful it is at this time of year where everything is springing back into life. Now, the apostle in Romans chapter 2 talks about the creation of God, and he says that the things that we see around us, they bear witness to the existence of God, that they teach us that God exists. Creation does. But that is all creation can do. It can only tell us that there is an existence, that God exists. It cannot teach us about salvation. For that, we need to look elsewhere. We need to look at this book, the Bible, which is going to make us aware of the things that we need to know so that we can be saved. In fact, the reality is that creation, the things that we see around us, can only actually condemn us. Because the apostle says, people have no excuse for not believing in God. They have no excuse whatsoever The evidence is out there. So creation can only really condemn. To understand and to know about salvation, how we can be saved, we need to look at this book, the Bible. And we're told at the end of verse 15 that that comes through faith in Christ Jesus. So that comes through faith, a belief in Christ Jesus. Now, we can't talk about the crucifixion and the resurrection at this time. It's another subject. But that is what we're talking about, having a belief in what Jesus did upon the cross and how he rose again, and other things too. Faith comes, we're told that faith comes through hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So that's where our faith comes from, through reading this book. And the way it works, ladies and gentlemen, is that when we focus our minds upon this book, and we'll see in a few minutes that this is the inspired word of God. When we focus our minds upon this book and the words, the message in it, God actually works on our mind and opens it up to his plan of salvation. He will make us aware of it when we focus our minds upon this book. Unless we do that, we're going nowhere. We need to read and focus our minds upon this book so that we can have salvation. And that's what these talks are all about. They're all about making people that come into this room that don't know about this, making them aware of the things they need to know so that they can be saved. And that comes through reading the pages of this book. If you look at verse 16, we read that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And what that actually means, quite simply, is that these words on the pages of this book are breathed out of the mouth of God himself. That's amazing if you think about it. These words that we're reading now are from the mouth of God himself. Now, the way they come onto this page is that he used people. He used people that we refer to as prophets, who actually spoke his word at a given time and recorded the message in these pages. So these words are from the prophets that God used to convey his word to us today. Now, in the Old Testament, there were two tests that you applied to someone who said they were a prophet, to see whether they were true or false. The first one was this: if a prophet said something, that something was going to happen, and it didn't, then you knew he was a false prophet. But then there was another test, as well as that one, where if that prophet said something and it did actually happen, but then he said, come on, let's go and worship other gods, then you knew that prophet was false, because God says in this book, you will have no other gods before me. There is only one God. So if someone says something about the Bible that is not in it, then you know that person is a false teacher. Now here's the thing. You can only know if someone is a false teacher if you know what God has actually written in his book. And that means that you have to read it for yourself. I'm standing up here telling you what's written here, but you yourself have got to look at it. You really have. Nobody just accepting what someone says to you. We have to look at it for ourselves. We need to know what God has said so we can determine if someone is telling, if what someone is telling us is true. Because if it's not in here, then we shouldn't be believing it. And sadly, there are so many people out there who've listened to people telling them things about Scripture which are not actually in this book. There's lots of false doctrines being spread around these days. There really is. So absolutely essential that we look at what is written in this book so we know what God has said. There's a lovely verse in Acts chapter 17, and I'd like you to turn to this if you would. Acts chapter 17. Where the apostle has been preaching the gospel, and he comes to a place called Berea, and in verse 11 of Acts chapter 17, we read that these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. So here we have a group of people who listened to the apostle preaching the gospel. They received it, they wanted to believe it, because the message was lovely. They wanted to believe it, but what they did, they searched for themselves the scriptures to see if what the apostle was saying was true. And you notice what happens when they, after they did that in verse 12. It says, therefore, many of them believed. Because they searched the scriptures for themselves and understood that what they were being told was true, they believed. That's a very powerful verse, and that is something that we have to do ourselves. Not just listen to what someone is saying from a platform like this, but look at it for yourself. Absolutely essential. So, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. If you go back to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And is profitable for doctrine. And that word doctrine simply means teaching, a particular teaching. Whose teaching? Well, we're not talking about man's teaching here. We're talking about the teaching of God. And this teaching in this book is very, very different from anything a man would teach. That is one of the things that actually started my mind to think seriously about this, because what we read about in this book is so different from anything a man would teach. And this is a mark of the divine stamp that is upon this book. The things that we read in this book are things that no human being would teach. You know, the idea of someone dying for someone that hates them. Can you get your mind around that? That someone would die for someone that hates them. You might die for someone that really loves you, yes, but would you die for someone that hates you? No, I don't think so. That's just not human thinking at all. Beyond anything that a human mind would conceive, really. And when you read this book, you will find that the teachings of God are very, very different. Very, very different from anything you're likely to read in any other book. Please read it. So all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, teaching. Now, a doctrine or a teaching is usually made up of a number of different principles. For instance, we have the doctrine of the resurrection, the doctrine of the crucifixion, doctrine of baptism, doctrine of the kingdom of God, etc. Just many, many different doctrines in scripture. And each one is made up of different principles. And it's important, before we take on board, before we accept any kind of Bible doctrine, that we understand all of it. Not just one verse, but everything that the Bible says about a particular doctrine. Let's just, for instance, briefly, let's just think about the doctrine of baptism. What does the Bible teach about baptism? Well, it teaches that you have to be fully immersed in water, not sprinkled, fully immersed in water. It teaches that before a person is baptized, he or she needs to understand exactly what's involved in what's going on. That person needs to have, first of all, repented. In other words, acknowledged that he or she is a sinner and in need of forgiveness. The Bible teaches that baptism is like a burial with Christ and a resurrection with Christ when they come out of the water. The Bible teaches that baptism does not save. Just because a person's been baptized doesn't mean to say they're saved. They're only saved if they fully understand and sincerely believe what they profess to before they are baptized. And there are other things too. So before you take on any Bible doctrine, you need to be aware of all the different things involved in it. So it's profitable for doctrine. And the next thing it's profitable for is reproof. Reproof. Now, here lies a big, big problem. Because this word reproof actually means it's giving us a good telling off. When we read this book, we read about what God says about us, says about me, it's not a pleasant picture. It shows us up for what we are. It really does. It gives us a good telling off. When we look at the standards of God with our standards, we fall very, very far short of them. The standards of God are very, very high. And this book is like a mirror that when we look at it, it shines. We look into it and we see in our face all the lines and the spots and everything that under the naked eye you perhaps do not see. But it's like a light that shines on us and shows up all our perfections, imperfections. And this is one of the reasons why people won't read this. I don't want to know about this. Because, you know, my life is my own, it belongs to me, I can do what I like with it. You know, who's anyone to tell me that I can't do this? Why is it wrong to do that? Why is it wrong to do this? So that's what it does. It shows us what we are, and it's not a pretty picture. Now, it does that for a reason, a very good reason. It doesn't do that to make us feel thoroughly wretched and miserable with ourselves. That's not the reason for it. It's there to show us what we are, so that we look at it and acknowledge it and say, yeah, I accept that, and I know I need to change. In other words, what it does, ladies and gentlemen, it brings about repentance. And the repentance means an acknowledgement that our lives are not right with God and that we need to change and go in the direction that God wants us to. That's why he shows us what we are, to bring this about in us. And repentance can only come really through reading the scriptures. That's the only way repentance can come about, for reading the scriptures, acknowledging that we are, having a desire to want to change. Now then, when that desire is there, what comes next is correction. But correction can only begin if we first accept the reproof. That's why the reproof comes first. He reproves us, we acknowledge it, and then begins the process of correction. Well, correction is something that goes on and on and on. Throughout the whole of our lives in Christ, it begins when we first, when we accept the reproof. That's when the correction begins, and it goes on and on and on. The word correction actually means to make upright again, to make us stand upright again. There's a verse in Proverbs that says, God has made man upright, but he has sought out many inventions. And to put that in simple language, God has made man upright, but mankind have actually, there is no end to the things that they can come up with to distance themselves further and further away from God. Every day there's new things, which bad things that are happening, bad things that are going on in the mind. There's no end to the ways we can distance ourselves from God. So, reproof and then correction. And that correction, you know, happens on a daily basis. And sometimes it might not be a pleasant thing. Sometimes God will bring things into our lives to shape us and mould us. Things which we might not particularly like. But he's doing that for a reason, ladies and gentlemen. He's doing that because he loves us, and he wants to make us into the people that he wants us to be. And this is an ongoing process. So, correction. And the next thing is why we should read these scriptures is that they're profitable for instruction in righteousness. And that word righteousness really means to make us right with God. That's all it means, to show us the right way of living. And that's tied up with the correction, because as we're corrected, then we begin to walk in the right way that God wants us to walk. And ultimately, of course, we're only made right with God through faith in Christ Jesus. It all revolves around that, actually. Faith in Christ Jesus. That is what will make us right with God. That is what is going to eventually save us. And what do we mean by being saved? Well, quite simply, what it's saying is this, that the message in this book can prevent us from, when we die and we go in the grave, it can prevent us from staying there. It can bring us out of that grave. We're all going to it. No one's going to escape that. No one will escape that. But the message in this book can actually bring us out of that grave and give us eternal life in God's kingdom forever. That's how serious it is. I mean, it's beyond our comprehension. We can't even begin to grasp it. But that is what God is promising. All those who will put their faith in his plan of salvation for this world. But it's not something he forces on people. It's not something we try and force upon people. You can't. We just say this is what God is promising. It's there. What you have to do is to receive it by faith. Okay, we could say a lot more about that, but let's just move on to the final bit. So for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. Now, none of us can be perfect. We're never going to be perfect. The idea of being perfect is that if you look at a dictionary definition, it's the idea of a state of completion that lacks no essential details, all of which are faultless. Now, that is not a condition we will ever reach as we are today with our human nature. Not possible. When Jesus comes back, yes, but not now. So the word just means complete, that we may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So the man of God is being equipped. This is where our tools come from in the work. We're being equipped with the tools, with the wherewithals that we need unto all good works. We're called to do good, to live a life of good works, to live a godly life. And the Word of God empowers us to do that. Now, could have said a lot more, really, but I think that's probably sufficient. So you can see, the question was, why do we need to read the Bible? Why should I read the Bible? Well, I think just those few verses from what we've read in Timothy, they answer that question, don't they? We need to read it quite simply because in this book, God is showing us a way whereby we can be saved, whereby we can save ourselves from eternal death in the grave. It's a gift of God. Do you want it? Well, that's entirely up to you. What you do with the message that you hear from here each Sunday is entirely up to you. We hope you will take it to heart and think upon it positively. And please, read it for yourself.